You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Doug, while ago, but I'm asking him now, Brother Doug, would you please come help me sing this song? It's an old song. In case you don't know it, we do a lot of songs that are good songs. Leland said I can't say old songs.
I got it right here somewhere, Brother Doug.
You used to hear it a lot at funerals and stuff, but I kind of rewrote it because it was really kind of sad, and I guess it might be kind of sad to some people when you hear the hearse come rolling along, but I took that part out of it, and I just do the song this way. It's the circle. Will the circle be unbroken by and by? There are loved ones up in glory. That's their form you often miss. When you close your earthly story, will you join them in their bliss? Come on, Doug. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? Y'all are welcome to sing if you want to. Home awaited in the sky, Lord, in the sky. One by one, their lives were ended. One by one, they left this earth. Now with Jesus up in glory, they enjoy their holy birth. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the Savior, will we join with those who sing? And will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the let the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. In the sky, Lord, in the sky. Will the circle be up?
Good song. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, for a few minutes to the book of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. I want to talk to you. And by the way, if you need a Bible, hold your hand up. I like to forget that, and I want to The guys that are handing you Bibles are from Freedom House. Freedom House is a Christian halfway house here in Odessa. It's operated by Jamie Butts. I first met Jamie when we were talking to one another out here at Ector County Jail. He was on one side and I was on the other. And you'll have to guess which one was which. I never had any idea that, because Jamie wasn't the best kid I'd ever met. But you know what? God got a hold of Jamie, got saved, and then he married a friend of mine's daughter, married Jimmy Dennett's daughter, and you're going to be around Jimmy very long. You're going to kind of walk the walk. I'm going to tell you that. Anyhow, the next thing I know, Jamie's contacting me about starting a halfway house out of Burden, and God has blessed them. I've got some great friends that are in Freedom House and come out of Freedom House and graduated from Freedom House, and they're in the process of expanding, building a brand new building, and so you pray for them. These guys, it's a year's commitment, and it'll be the greatest year in their life, I'll tell you that. Now, I've noticed over the years, I'm not sure how old Freedom House is, maybe six. How old? Anybody know? 6 years, 7 years? Started in 05? Okay. Well, you're going to have to figure that up for me. I don't have a calculator. Oh, okay, good. That's 8 years. 8 years. Everybody got that? They're 8 years. And I noticed this. And I noticed it starting with my own grandson. But he was just thrilled to death for the first 2 or 3 months. And then he got smarter than Jamie. And he knew everything. And he left. And that was probably good because that probably stopped a real bad deal in our family. He went back to Houston. And he kind of woke up for a little bit. And Jamie let him come back. Now, Jamie is sweeter than I am. I tell you, I was mad at that little booger. that he would. And he came back and did the same thing again. And he just keeps paying for it. But I'm going to tell you, y'all that are in there, you keep your commitment. You gut up. You stay there. And you'll walk out of there with some freedom. You walk out of there with some money in your pocket, and I'm talking about some good money. You stay there, and most of all, you've done what you said you would do. You've kept your word, and that'll just give you a good way to start today. When you do that, you'd look yourself in the mirror. And so they come over here, they work, they come in early, they leave late, they empty all the trash, they do all those things at their own volition. And we're so glad to have them here. And they are cleaning up stuff and emptying things and carrying trash out, passing out the Bibles, passing out the cards. I thank you guys. I really do. You're a great group of guys. I want to speak to you tonight real quickly about the cure for sin. Now, most of us don't call it sin anymore. We call it personality flaws or a weakness. But truth of the matter is the Bible calls it sin. God calls it sin. Jesus called it sin. Bible characters called it sin. And when Jesus, before he said that great verse that everybody knows, John 3:16, when he was talking, in verse 14, before he gets done, I want to read two verses to kind of set the stage, and then we're going to go back and look at what he was talking about, and it's a perfect example of what he's going to go ahead and say in John 3:16. But in John 3:14, it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, all of us talk about the problem. Today, we've got people talking on talk shows and everything else, the problem in America. Nobody's talking about solution. In fact, they don't want you to talk about solution. See, the solution is Jesus Christ. The solution for sin is always Christ. And we can do all of the training and all of the teaching and all of the therapy and all of that that we're going to do, but until we get right with God, nothing's going to change. I'm telling you that. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Hey, it's just very simple. But what he's talking about, he said, is Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. This is an exciting story. Way back in the book of Numbers, so I want you to go back. Numbers is the fourth book in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. The 21st chapter. Now here's the setting. The nation of Israel has been delivered by Moses from Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea on dry land. God has put the sea back together to dry on Pharaoh's armies. He's going to take them into the promised land, but they decided that they need to form a committee. And they needed to go spy out this land, and when they went to look at it, they came back and said, boy, the land is everything you said it was, but they got giants over there. They'll whip us. And they voted 10-2 not to build. They voted 10-2 not to go in there. God had said, go in there. I will deliver them to you. I will take care of you. And he said, oh, man, we can't do that. We get to thinking. And we get to cutting God short. Now, because of this, it's 11 days' journey from where they are to the promised land. They make that in 40 years. I'll give you some idea of some of the progress some of us make. I look back over my life. The guy asked me here a while back, said, how long have you been living for Jesus? I looked at my watch. I don't need a calendar because I don't live for much. If you total all the time together, I might have an hour out of all my 78 years. I see, most time it's just for living. It took them 40 years to go what normally would take them 11 days to do. They're wandering around. It's called the wilderness wanderings. And many things happened to them during that time because of one simple problem. They just didn't believe God was telling them the truth. They didn't believe God would do what he said he'd do. So look at verse 4, Numbers 21. Verse 4 says, as they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Some of you are just tired. Some of you are discouraged. Some of you, life is a bummer. I see people that are just miserable in their life. It doesn't have to be that way, folks. It really doesn't. But they're discouraged about the way. Verse 5 said, the people spake against God and against Moses. And usually that's the most discouraged folks. You start fussing at God and start fussing at God's people, and you're not going to have a happy day. I can tell you that. I'll guarantee you that. He said, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Let me tell you about that light bread. God sent manna from heaven. It's what the angels were eating on. God sends it down to let man eat some of it, and he doesn't like it. It's not too good for him. We don't like this light bread. Let me tell you something. I really think that 90% of America would not like heaven. Because you know what we're going to do in heaven? We're going to praise God. Well, nobody's doing that down here much. So we're going to, if you want to know what kind of music we're going to have in heaven, I can tell you. People don't like for me to tell them, but I can tell them, Brother Doug. Because the Bible said psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It didn't say anything else about Christian rock. Saying it is Christian rock is like saying I got a Christian liquor store on South Side of town. It's a no-brainer. Let's all go to the Christian porno store. Hey, it's psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's God tells us about that. Most folks don't like that type of thing. See? We will talk to the Lord. Down here we call that prayer. Up there we'll just get to talk to Him face to face. That'll be heaven. We'll get to, I want to hear Paul preach. I really do. I want to talk to Moses. I want to ask Noah why he took the fly into the ark. Can you just lift that one out? See? When I was down in, when I lived in Houston for years, I wondered why he took the mosquito. You know, you just go from one problem to another. I moved out here and no more mosquitoes. Now we got flies. There's some problem somewhere, everywhere. And because they're griping and complaining and moaning, now they've been walking out here, God's preserved their clothes, God's preserved their shoes. They had the same pair of shoes for 40 years. God preserved it, didn't let the leather wear out on them. He's taken care of them, and they're a miserable people, and the misery is part of their own doing. Had you done what God told you to do, you wouldn't be here in the first place. How many of us can say amen to that? Been there, done that, got a t-shirt, baby. Yeah. Now I look at verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Before you say, I don't think it can get any worse, it can. What's the old saying? They said, cheer up, it could get worse. And I cheered up, and sure enough, it got worse. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. You start complaining and whining to God, God will give you something to really complain about. Now you got a problem. We got fiery serpents. They're biting the people, and the people are dying. And I'm sure there would have been four or five Baptists who want to form a committee on how to get rid of the serpents. Or at least get into some kind of treatment for serpents. Therefore the people came to Moses, verse 7, and said, now I love this. You may want to highlight this. We're getting ready to solve the problem. Here's the solution. See, because you can't find a solution to the problem until you know what the problem is. If we don't know what the problem is, then we can't get a solution. They know what the problem is. You and I know what the problem is. This is not a dumb group in here tonight. You don't have to have a GED to know what the problem in mine and your life is. And it's sin. He said, we have sin. It's sweet, it's short, and it's truthful. We have sin. We don't want to say that anymore. Well, I may be wrong. Man, I love this one. I know I'm not perfect. Well, that surprised me. I thought you were. We have sin. We don't want to say that. Can't we say something else? I was talking to a guy this week out at the jail. His crime was the unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. Doesn't that sound pretty good? I have, first time I ever saw that, I got this mental image of this guy who'd hotwired the car, got two blocks down the street, and then went, oh, no, I forgot to get authorization. Can't we just say that somebody stole the car? And, no, the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not steal. It didn't say, thou shalt not get authorization. Thou shalt not steal. Just get to the point. We have sinned. And when they got to the point, for said, we have spoken against the Lord and against thee, praying to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, this is kind of odd. Brass in the Bible always recommends sin. There was the brazen altar when you first came into the temple, that you went there first to get your sins cleansed. Here, he said, make a brass snake and put it high up on a pole. It was just like a real snake, except it had no venom in it. That's why Jesus said way over in his life, as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Christ was lifted up on Calvary, but there's no sin in him. He's God in the flesh. The Bible said that he came, that God made him, he came in, to his own received him not, but to them whom received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. He said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Here's God. He said, just as Moses stuck that serpent on the pole and said, look and live. Now, what he didn't say is describe the serpent to me. He didn't say anything about analyzing the serpent. In fact, he didn't even say, see the serpent. He said, if you look, you live. See, you could have been half blind, but you still look. May not see it, but you look. All it took, now think about this, to everybody out there, didn't make any difference who you were, short or tall, rich or poor, if you were bitten by that serpent, you have the sting of sin in you. You are dying. And he said, all you got to do is look at the serpent. Here's all I'm asking you to do. Anybody can do that. Didn't make any difference where you were, what you were doing. You could look, because that pole is set up high. You can look and live. And Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's going to Calvary. And all a person, now let's go back over and notice what it says about him. Back to John 3. In verse 15, he said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever means who? Anybody. You can believe anywhere, at any time, at any place that you want to. That whosoever believeth on him, and then he introduces that verse, for God so loved the world. God's motive was love. That wasn't his purpose. That was his motive. God so loved the world. And everybody in this room is familiar with the fact that this world is not lovable. Everybody in here has had some of the world's love. And it'll break us. It'll beat us. It'll whip us. It'll starve us. It'll destroy us. It'll kill us. But God so loved the world. a world of drug addicts, a world of thieves, a world of adulterers, a world of homosexuals, a world of idolaters, whatever. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, the rich, the poor, the rotten, the good, the one trying to do good and the one trying to do bad, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, believe there's something anybody can do. Remember, the great Blondin was the first man to ever walk Niagara Falls on a tightrope. He was daredevil. He was early day Evel Knievel, as it were. And one slip, he was 167 feet above the falls, and that falls goes down another couple hundred feet. But this would have cost him his life. And he made it. He drew a crowd. And because that's where he made his living and he wanted to try something else, and this was a challenge to him, he decided then that he would walk across blindfolded. And they said, yeah, he can do it. And he did. He made it. And the next year he came back. And he said he could walk across it backwards. And the crowd paid big money to see that. And the next year he came back and they said, the great Blondin is going to push a wheelbar across Niagara Falls. And he did. And as the crowd gave him a great ovation at the end of that, he said, who thinks that I can push it back across with a person in it? Who believes I can do it? And the crowd cheered and said, you can do it. And he said, who wants to get in? Now, you all know what belief means. Belief is not that you believe that there's a stop sign out yonder. The belief that he's talking about is belief with commitment. If you believe that the great Blondin could push that wheelbar across there on a tightrope, if you really believe that, you'd get in. And by the way, you know what? Nobody would accept a challenge except his manager. And his manager got in, and the great Blondin pushed him across Niagara Falls. Now, that was just a stunt for profit. What God is talking about is alive in eternity. Can you believe Jesus? Can you believe that when he said that whosoever will may come? Would you come? I want you to do that. Let's bow our heads. All heads are bowed. Eyes closed. Nobody looking around. I want you to think with me for a moment. Give me your attention. Heads bowed. Eyes closed. Maybe you've never realized that Jesus Christ died for you. I'd heard a lot of sermons in my life because my mama made me go. But I was 19 years old before it dawned on me. Before I ever saw, before the Holy Spirit ever showed me that Jesus died for me. Maybe you've never seen that. Maybe you thought it was just a matter of stopping this and stopping that and straightening up and changing your lifestyle and a bunch of things you didn't want to do anyway. That it was trusting Jesus Christ because he paid your debt on the cross. He died for you. He took mine in your place. We ought to have been there. He went there so you and I could go to heaven. Maybe you just realized that tonight. and you say, Leland, I want to trust Jesus Christ. I've never been saved. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me that I'd trust Christ? Would you slip your hand up real quick? We're going to pray in a moment. Nobody looking around. God bless you. I see your hand, sir. Thank you. Put it right back down. I see your hand and yours. Yes, at the back. Yours, yeah. Slip them up. Put them back down. Now, yes, sir, I see yours. God bless you. Anyone else? Real quickly. I want you to really mean business with the Lord Jesus Christ. He meant business for you and I. And I want you, when Charles begins to sing this old song, of Come Home, Come Home, Old Sinner, Come Home, I want you to step out and say, I'm putting my faith and trust in Christ tonight. I don't care who knows it. I trust Him as my Savior. Would you stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed. We're going to pray right now. And then Charles is going to sing, and I want you to come. Stand up. Head bowed, eyes closed, but standing up. Our precious Heavenly Father, may we mean business with You tonight. Help us not to play around with You. Help us tonight. Father, for those that lifted their hand, help them to come. Give them the strength and the courage and the guts to step right out for You. You died publicly for us. Help us to publicly stand for You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. On the very first verse, would you come right now? Come on, softly and tenderly. He's calling. Come on. Come on, yes, sir. Come right on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Whatever God wants you to do. Come on. Come on. What's God want you to do? Should we tarry? What are you waiting on? Tonight He's calling. He may not tomorrow night, but tonight He's calling. While the musicians play softly, while people are praying, being counseled with, what does God want you to do? Have you done it? Not for me, but for you. What does God have for you? Come on. He's going to play through one more verse. No one comes, we'll be through. But I want you to have the opportunity. Let me recommend, before we pray and are dismissed, on the table is a, back there's a pamphlet called What Have I Done and What Do I Do Now? It deals with salvation, what the Bible says about salvation. Also, it deals with what's going to take place after salvation, what the Bible is going to warn you about and encourage you about. Pick up one of those. They're free. Everything on that table is for you, and it's free. Do that where you can get in the privacy of your room or your home and sit down with your Bible. And let me say this about those Bibles that you got tonight. If you don't have a Bible here with you, what I want you to do is just keep that one as a gift from the rec room. You can remember us, and every time you pick it up, pray for us. If not, if you already have one and you want to turn it in, then put it on the table at the back of this room. And that way we won't have to go all over the room picking them up. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for those that are here. Thank you for those that trusted Christ as their Savior. Thank you, Father, for those that just got some things clear between you and them. And Father, again, I ask that those that put you off, I pray you give them another chance. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you. The refreshments are open.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.